We're in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. Let's read the previous verses because they're connected. Verse 12 and 13. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Notice it says will be. It doesn't say may. But evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. This will happen up until the time of the Antichrist. This will prepare the world to receive him readily, because most of them are already being deceptions and darkness, and they'll easily fall for him and the false prophet. Okay. Verse 14, you, he's talking to Timothy, however, continue in the things that you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you learned them. Okay. You, like all true Christians, grow in grace as the world of wicked men gets worse and worse. No matter the age or the dispensation, some people don't like the word dispensation, but it cuts things up into time. We had the dispensation of conscience, then the patriarchs, then the dispensation of the law, and now we're under the church dispensation or the dispensation of grace. God gave further revelation, expected more unto some, and released us from some things under the lower ones. So it's a matter of being tutored and growing in our spiritual knowledge and God's plans for the salvation of mankind, what will receive him. So no matter the age or dispensation, God's grace is there for those who are his, so they can be overcomers. When the scripture says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the word is meant army, because they come in on all sides, the Lord will raise a standard or a wall against him, assuring us that we do not have to go down in defeat if we Christians continue with Christ. As we said before, if you make provision for the flesh, the promises don't abide. There is no protection, no promise, no prophecy that'll keep you if you're not in Christ Jesus. That means obeying the Lord and walking in his spirit. So if you're in gross sin, doing things you know, you can't claim this scripture. Okay? Ephesians 6, verse 13. Therefore, for this reason, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. The armor of God, later he explains, is truth, righteousness, peace, faith. He says, put it on, because it's Christ. We're yoking ourselves. We're uniting ourselves with the Lord. The Spirit's in us. The Holy Spirit's the helper. But you notice you have to take it up. If people do not do what the scripture says, the Holy Spirit cannot and will not help them. So there's the combination. As always, we get everything spiritual from the vine, Christ. But to bear fruit, we have something to do with it. Christ does not bear fruit apart from us. It's the union of the two that produce spiritual results. But it says, that you may be able to stand in the evil day. The evil day is when the enemy comes against you, when you're having all kinds of tribulations, problems, testings, and so forth. Problem. That's the evil day. Why? Because often the devil's behind these things. He stirs up people to persecute or come against us. He stirs up situations in the world. He's the God of this world. He's the God of all the Christendom and religion, you see. Most of that's under his control. They're his ministers. If they're not obeying Christ, they don't have a lampstand, they're not a true church. But most of them, again, have the form. And that's what we call Christendom. But very few are real Christians. So we need to make a distinction, as we always do, the ones that say, Lord, Lord, that's of Christendom. They believe Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross. He rose again, and he's the Lord. But Jesus said to most of them, he said, I never knew you. You were never born again. You were never mine. He said, you are workers of lawlessness. See, the person didn't follow the Lord or keep his commands. So he still loved the world, but he's got a little religion now. So that's what it means. So the majority of Christendom is under the power of the devil. And he sends many false teachers and imposters to keep people deceived because they won't seek out the truth. Many people are gullible. They believe what they want to believe. They're not interested in the real truth. They want to believe certain things, and they think that makes it true. But they're going to find out at the day of judgment, it doesn't. He says, you're workers of lawlessness. It means you're not under the law of Christ. It means you say, Lord, Lord, but he's not your Lord because you do not obey him and follow him. Okay, so we put on the armor. We do not have to go down and defeat. He said, having done all, to stand. So when the battle's over, you're still standing, okay? So he'll raise up a standard. We don't have to be defeated if we walk in the Lord and obey him, okay? You're able, and we're able, to be victorious and not go down in defeat. When Christ's armor on us and the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of Christ, inside helping us. If one keeps losing battles and warfare, why false Christian teachers say, well, at least we're saved. At least we won the war. I've read the back of the book. No, if you lose battles and enough of them, you're not going to win the war. See, that's the false teachers tell people that. To give them false peace and false assurance, but they're not producing what God requires in Christ. They're not producing spiritual works. They're not producing obedience or fruitfulness. So therefore, they can claim all the victory they want, but they don't have it. See, it isn't working. They've already been defeated. So if one keeps being tried by the Lord, that's what we have to watch. In our own personal life, he said, he that is often reproved, God chastens and deals with us when we fall into sin and we don't try to get out quickly, repent and confess and do what's necessary. But if we keep going at it and keep being defeated, what does he say? He can't help us then. We'll go down in defeat and we will lose the war. See, we are under probation. That's another word many Calvinistic people don't like because it means you're being tested to prove loyalty. They're saying you just say this little prayer and you never have to worry about anything. Well, they're lying spirits being stalking people. And Jesus did say with the false teachers and Pharisees and scribes, he said, leave them alone. He meant the teachers and those who follow him. He said, if the blind lead the blind, they'll both fall in a ditch. The ones that are deceived and listen to them are responsible. They're not going to be able to blame thing on their teachers. God's going to deal individually. He knows the conscience and everything, and they're not going to be excused. And if they have a good teachers, they're going to be held accountable for stewardship. And if they don't, they better search the scripture and find out what the Lord requires of them. Okay, and so we cannot make it to the kingdom, as Paul said, if we practice these gross sins. He names many of them. We all know what sin is, gross sin. And he said, if you make it a habit, if that's your lifestyle, he said, you will not make it into the kingdom of heaven because you're proven under your probation that you've already failed. You're walking in sin and disobedience. And we know where that leads. The wages of sin are death. And that's eternal death, the second death, the lake of fire. So he makes it very plain to those who want to know the truth. The way is plain to the righteous. The wicked cannot see it. It deceives them. See, The Pharisees and scribes could not recognize Jesus because they were still in their sins. They wouldn't repent. And when John the Baptist got all the common people to repent, they readily accepted Jesus because they could see who he was. They understood the scriptures. And these were ignorant as far as the world was concerned. But they weren't ignorant concerning God. Yet most of the Pharisees, scribes, and priests did not make it. They thought Jesus was a false prophet, a false Messiah, and they murdered him. But they still believed some of the law and mental assent to the law. But even Jesus told them, search the scripture, for they speak of me. Well, sin blinds, and God is not interested in giving the truth to people who are sinning. If people would understand, only when a person repents and confesses are they open to the Lord's Spirit. Repentance means turn your back on, come out of. Well, many people confess Jesus as Lord, and they're still doing the same wicked sins they've ever done. And they've been told, well, you're under God's grace, so you don't have to worry about it. Well, you're going to be damned. And the teacher is going to be damned that teaches you this, because there's no such thing. And the other fact, doesn't matter how intellectual you are, you will be deceived and you will not properly understand spiritual things. And you can quote the Bible back and forth, but you're serving the Lord mentally with lip service. But as the Lord said, your heart's far from me. And Jesus thanked the Father that he hid the spiritual truths from the brilliant, the intellectuals of the world. See, they wouldn't accept it. He wasn't trying to convince them any other way. See, they wanted sign in heaven. They wanted this and that. It don't change the heart. It's because they didn't repent. So most of the so-called evangelism doesn't like the word repentance. It means turn your back on these sins. Many of these sins, a person can stop doing even if it doesn't know the Lord. He cannot get his past sins forgiven, and he cannot get the strength to overcome sin. But he can keep that word, and it's the original, and it says, thou shalt not murder. It is not kill. Says, thou shalt not murder. Well, nobody on earth is so compelled they have to murder. And if they are, and they live in a society that puts them to death, that restrains them from doing the wickedness they want to do. They know there are consequences. So they may want to do something in their heart, but they won't do it outwardly. So a person doesn't have to lie or steal or commit adultery. He does it because he yields to the works of the flesh and the drawings of his corrupt nature that has not been put in its place. Okay. So we put on the armor, we take it up, but we apply it. We take all the aid that Christ gives us, and if we're using it, then we have to overcome. But see, those don't yield to it. They don't obey the gospel. You find that word not only in James, you find it in Revelations and another couple of places. It said that when God came to judge most of the world, that obeyed not the gospel. It means they heard it to some degree. Even the conscience is part of the gospel. So even if they hadn't heard the gospel, they had a law within them to tell them right and wrong. And it said they did not obey it. So it's the obeying that God's looking after. That's why we say most judgments have to do with men's works, not their beliefs. Because if you include the works properly, the works mean that you believe aright. You're serving the Lord and obeying him in the gospel. Oh, many people believe the gospel mentally. They're the ones we are talking about that most of the world of Christendom believes. But individually, they're not following the Lord. They're not doing what the Lord wants. They're not led of the Spirit. They're finding their own life, and they somehow want God to rubber stamp it and think it's okay. Because until they defile it greatly, their conscience still disturbs them a little bit. Until false teachers can twist the scripture and say, oh, you ain't got to worry about that. It's all grace. and to convince them it's all grace, then they don't have to worry about these other things. That's what the lying spirits do, and that's why they inspire imposters and false teachers. So we put on the armor, we take it up, we apply it. We take all the aid that's given to us, and then we have to be overcomers and victorious. He gives grace and the word for the Christian. Most people think unmerited favor, that's a novelty in a simple way. The strength that the Christian has given, grace gives strength, ability, power. It's not some mental thing. Paul, when he wanted his stake in the flesh removed, a buffeting spirit of the devil, he sought the Lord on three serious occasions. He didn't just say a little prayer. He probably fasted and prayed for days on several occasions. And the Lord said, no, I'm not going to remove it. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. He was explaining that the grace he's given is strength. I'll give you the ability not to be overcome. I'll give you the ability to endure that lot which I've given you. So that's what he's telling him, okay? All temptations are normal to all humans. There are no new things. There are different ways, but sin is sin. The devil's the devil and the corrupt nature. Well, it says they invent evil things. It means they come up with, but at the root, it's all the same. It proceeds from the devil, the world, or the flesh. That's where sin and the temptations come that way to the Christian. But if too great, the Lord gives more grace or strength so that the Christian will not be overwhelmed. But he still has his responsibility to do his part. So if he makes provision for the flesh and doesn't take up the armor, he will be defeated. And like I say, you lose enough battles, you won't win the war. Can't be done. Okay. Now look at Matthew 24. Verse 22, talking about before the great tribulation. Some believe this was during the destruction of Israel. Sometimes you can read Matthew 24 and piece certain things. Some of them may apply to that time, but it may apply also to the end times during the great tribulation, which will be the worst there has been. It said, unless those days were shortened, no flesh could be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. So those who are true followers of the Lord, he's not going to put them in a position that they cannot overcome the situation. He has to measure up with the grace to meet that. And again, for those who make no provision for the flesh and who walk in the Spirit, that's who it applies to. So he will not let his own be overwhelmed. Go to Revelation chapter 3, verse 10. The church of Philadelphia, he says something. Because you have kept my commandments or command to persevere. It means what? To persevere in him and persevere against the world, the flesh, and the devil. I will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. So those who are walking in the Spirit and following him, they won't have to go through this horrible time of testing because they're already faithful. They've already lived in overcoming lives. They're walking in the Spirit, and they have persevered and endured. The other ones he's speaking of, they're going to have to be tested and tried and see whether they will follow the Lord or not during their hard times. So the Lord will not let his own be put in a situation, will not let us be tested above what we are able. If we are, it means that we have not done our part. We've made provision for the flesh, and we've not put on the armor, which is to be led of the Spirit and follow Christ and his fruitfulness he gives us. So then you'll go down in defeat. The promises cannot apply. Okay? Many professing Christians are claiming many promises that don't apply to them because they're not obeying the Lord. They're finding their own life and doing as they please and giving a little things to the Lord and religion to pacify God, they think. But you must remember, the sacrifices of the wicked are an abomination. The word means hated or detestable to the Lord. So false Christians and professing Christians, all that religious stuff they're doing is nothing but making God store up wrath for them. He's not pleased with it. He don't want it. If he wants it, he'll take it. He wants repentance and a change of life and those who follow him. So they think they're going to buy God off or buy their conscience off. And because their conscience can be defiled, they believe they're okay. Well, I do bad, they say, but I do some good too. Well, they're going to find out it don't work that way. Not the law and principles of Christ. So he said, you having continued in these things, let's go. You, however, continue in the things that you've learned. Okay? You're convinced of them. You know from where you learned them. Well, he's going to proceed to tell them through your mother and your grandmother, but through the apostolic teaching, the Lord had Paul to train him and teach him all these things in a further light. We'll see that in a minute. So he said, continue to remain. That means abide, okay? It means keep at it, remain in it. The word continue here, see, people don't like that. Continue in the things. If you don't continue bearing fruit, walking with the Spirit and the Lord, it says eventually Jesus said, my Father will cut you off the branch that's fruitless and not spiritual, and it will be burned. We know what that means at the end of final judgment. So Christianity is a probation that we have to continue and persevere in. Our probation is to prove loyalty to God. So we have to stay faithful until our death or until the rapture comes. We have to persevere until one of those two things happen. Acts 13:43. Now, Paul, when he's preaching to the Jews in the synagogue, some of them came to the Lord, and he's speaking to them, Paul and Barnabas, and it says, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. So much for irresistible grace. So much for it's all grace in God, and you don't have to do nothing. It says here, he said, you have to continue in the grace of God. People don't like hearing that, do they? It's the continuing following the Lord and doing his will. Acts 14:22, where they preached and got many disciples, which were believers, interchangeable. 22 says, they strengthen the souls of the disciple, exhorting them to continue in the faith. Isn't that word there? So we have continue in grace and now continue in faith. But when it says strengthening the souls, that's God's grace given to strengthen, the Spirit moving, encouraging them, giving them sound doctrine in the Word of God. For he said, for we through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. He's not told us it's easy believism, that we're saved no matter what we do. No, he's saying through much tribulation, because we live in the world system that is run by the devil. And Jesus said, the world hated me, and it's going to hate you also. It doesn't like true Christianity as a whole. It disturbs them. It makes them feel guilty. They want to think they're okay no matter what. And the lives of righteous people make them uncomfortable. They feel they're judging them. But it's the Spirit in them that's judging them and disturbing them that you should be living this way. See, they don't want to hear that, okay? And then Romans 22, he's talking to the Gentiles who have been grafted into Christ while most of the Jews were cut off and rejecting, okay? But look at 22. Therefore, consider the goodness and the severity of God. On those who fell, he was severe, harsh, but toward you, goodness. He's talking about the Gentiles that came to Christ when the Jews were cut off as a whole. But he says, but toward you, God's goodness is being displayed. You've been put in Christ. You've been put into the olive tree. If you continue in his goodness. Okay, so we have to continue in grace. We have to continue in faith. And we have to continue in goodness. It means good works. Morally upright. That's what it means. That's what righteousness produces. That's what grace produces. Or it's passive. It's a false grace. True grace is active. It produces something. And then he says, if you continue in his goodness, and if not, what? Otherwise, this is the other side of the coin. You also will be cut off. You can be cut off just like the Jews were for their centuries of rebellion. And God's patience wore out with them. He didn't cut them all off because, like Paul said, I'm saved. The first 6 years or so, it was only Jews that were filled with the Spirit and serving the Lord. But it was given to the Gentiles, and God kept testing the Jews and give them time for 40 years until he destroyed the temple. Then he wasn't dealing with them in a great way. And even under Paul, he would go to the Jewish synagogues throughout the Roman Empire because many of them had not heard or seen the full gospel that the Jews and the temple and the leaders had. And he always got converts, and they were usually thrown out of the synagogue. And they followed Paul and joined the Gentile gatherings. So he's saying, God can just as easily cut you off like he did them if you do the same things they did. Now, Paul's named the children of Israel, how they were baptized and fed, and the blood protected them and everything. And then they were cut off because they did not continue to follow the Lord. They were not allowed to enter the promised land because they did not continue. And the symbol is they were saved, they were fed, they had communion, they were having drink of the living water, but they failed their probation. So God decided now's the time to bring in the Gentiles. His intention all along was eventually the whole world. He chose the Jew as a special people at that time, not because they were better than anybody else, because he told them they weren't. So he was more gracious, and they failed. As Stephen, before they stoned him, he told the scribes and the priests, he said, you do always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did. So finally God got tired of it, and enough's enough. So we're seeing that we have to continue. We have to overcome. We have to abide in the Lord. We have to stay with him throughout our probation and prove our loyalty. The angels, we're not told too much about, but they had their probation. And a third of them failed God's testing. We're not told how long it went, what. We know they had greater privileges, and they knew God far greater than any humans ever known him. And that may be why there was no provision for repentance made. When everything of God's holiness was removed, they were devils and demons. They had no good in them, no capability of being redeemed. So he even tested the angels. That's his right for any moral creature that he brings into judgment that's made in an image like him. He expects will and choices and decisions to be made according to his plan. So he does not want robots or parrots. He's not after that. Okay. Now, 15, back to Timothy, you know where you learn these things. They talk about the old too, that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Talk about the law and the prophets, okay? Timothy is knowledgeable of Christianity eventually through his grandmother and his mother, and of course, Paul taking him under and teaching him the complete truth. He seems to have come to Christ, and seems like grandmother somehow had turned to the Lord. We know from history she was married to a Greek, and he wasn't a Christian. And so Timothy was mixed, okay? But it seems like his grandmother, mother, knew enough of the law that they taught him things when he was a child, and he able to bring those things to his remembrance when the Holy Spirit and when Paul was dealing with him, okay? So these Old Testament scriptures were taught to him as a child, and later he then came to the Lord. Paul saying to him that these Old Testament writings led to faith in Christ Jesus. Well, that's what John the Baptist was teaching. He said, repent, because the Lord's coming. He's coming for a people. Make the way holy. Stop your upward sinning. That means stop it immediately, or you're not going to be able to recognize him. And see, the scribes could not. And the priests came because it was popular this time. Many of the priests wanted to be baptized by John the Baptist. They thought he was a prophet or teacher until he started coming against them. But he wouldn't baptize them. He said, go forth and show forth fruits of repentance. Then come back. He said, you ain't repented. You're still in your sins. You're still covetous and greedy and hypocrites and false leaders and not keeping the law. So he's telling them, you repent of these things. Then you come back and I'll baptize you and wash away your sins. See, he was fulfilling the law and telling them that until you do this, you'll not see the Lord or recognize him. And that's what happened. Most of the Pharisees could not recognize Jesus. They thought he was a false prophet, a false Messiah. And they killed him. Many of them, most of them, being deceived, even as Paul was seeking to kill his followers because he was still deceived. But the simple, everyday people at John the Baptist's time, they recognized Christ and they came to him when he preached. See, because the Father revealed it to them. But the Father hides it from the wise and intellectual, from those who are practicing gross sin. He's not interested in giving them spiritual things. He's only interested in one thing, repentance. See, everything else don't mean nothing till you get right. And many people confess the Lord, but they still don't repent of their sins, so they're not real Christians. Those are often the ones that Jesus is going to say, Lord, Lord. They're going to say to him, he said, I never knew you. See, they confessed him all day long as who he was, but they lived lawless lives. They lived as they wanted to. And just mixed a little religion with it to ease their conscience, their seared conscience, okay? And we have to see then these sacred writings that lead to faith in Christ Jesus, they were Old Testament. They led to salvation. They were pointing to Jesus Christ. The law and the prophets were a tutor. They could explain things and tell you things, but they couldn't give life. See, the law could command you to do this, that, and the other, but it had no ability to forgive sins or instruct you further, and that's why there was the blood offerings. And the blood was only to cover. It was temporarily. Only Christ could remove the sin. But that was the covenant they was under, and he required certain obedience to that dispensation. Okay? So he's telling Timothy, most of the things you got that led you to this understanding, why you could understand what I'm telling you, you got from the Old Testament scripture. They point to Christ, okay? And then the way is made plain to those who live righteously. Or the righteous get plain things. They're not hid from them. See, all these people go into seminaries, and they go and come out, most of them still lost. They can quote scripture. They can do that. They're bent on what their denomination thinks important, which God doesn't think is important. that lay aside the word of God for their own traditions and book of order and denominational creeds, and they will not escape the damnation of hell for doing that. Okay. And now we go to a scripture most people know and we read often, 16. All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction or training in righteousness. Now we find out that scripture is not only the law. And he was talking about that too at this time. Most of the scripture is referring to the Moses' law and the prophets and the Psalms. And then the apostles completed it with the New Testament and fulfilled and revealed to us what the law was talking about. It gives us the true results. The law and prophets pointed to Christ in the future. The epistles point to Christ now. In the present, during the church age, that he's here and we have to learn what he requires of us. We are under the law of Christ, okay? And much of the morality is included in the Old Covenant. Like we said, the Ten Commandments, every one of them included in the law of Christ. Of course, a lot of people think they have to go to church on Sunday. It's the Sabbath. It's not the new Sabbath. A lot of ignorant people know no scripture. Paul said, I'm afraid of you because you observe Sabbath and moons and months that we're bringing in the old covenant again, which had been fulfilled. Hebrews says, there remains a Sabbath for the people of God. It was a continual spiritual Sabbath. So that's why a true Christian can worship on any day. Worship is in him. He's got Christ in him. It's not in any building. It's not in any time or space. It's now. So every one of them. You cannot be a murderer, a thief, a liar, a fornicator. If you practice those things, Paul said you will not enter the kingdom of heaven because you're not of Christ. He fulfilled the law and lived the law. But justification couldn't come by the law or the sacrifices. It had to ultimately come through Christ, okay? So all scripture, that is most of the law and the prophets and Psalms, was inspired, means to be breathed on by God, given life. The New Testament scriptures were still in the writing. When Peter and Paul died, John hadn't started writing his gospel or the epistles. Isn't that interesting? We have the complete record. They did not. But they knew him in a way that most people don't know God today because they obeyed in the light that they have. So let's go ahead and take a break now.